I have Giacomo Gates on the phone. He'll be singing in Fort Lauderdale a week from tonight, and we'll be talking with him. But first, let's hear some of his work.
When you walk down the street, the people you meet acknowledge the golden rule. They want to shake your hand, solid man, then everything is cool. If you're fresh out of loot and someone real cute tries to play you for a fool, tell them you've tried romance and need finance, then everything is cool. It's just another silly bebop thing the cats are all talking about. It's got a beat makes you wanna swing, and we hope it knocks you out with your clothes out of hock. You're on the block sporting a great big jewel, twice as high as birds can fly, then everything is cool. Just another silly bebop thing the cats are all talking about. It's got a beat makes you wanna swing, and we hope it knocks you out with your clothes out of hock. You're stashed on the block sporting a great big jewel, daddy twice as high as birds can fly, then everything is cool.
Yes, indeed. Everything is cool. It doesn't get much cooler. Giacomo Gates, I started to say in the house. Well, through the magic of electronics. Giacomo Gates on the phone with us from Connecticut. Good evening and welcome, Mr. Gates, to Evening Jazz.
Hi, Tracy. How are you? Please call me Giacomo.
I'll do my best. I tend to be a little formal sometimes in my speech.
All right.
But thank you.
Yeah, certainly.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us in advance of your performance next Wednesday. You've been spending a fair amount of time in South Florida, have you not?
Yeah, I have. Off and on for a long time, actually, too. Southern Florida, Central, Northern. I'm happy to go to Florida.
And it's not even wintertime, so.
That's right.
I guess that makes us pretty special. So, you're going to be performing for the Gold Coast Jazz Society next Wednesday, the 11th of May. Showtime is 7:45, and the location is the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, 201 Southwest 5th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale. More information at goldcoastjazz.org, and there's also a link on the Real Tracy Fields Facebook page. Please, tell us a little bit about what we can expect from your show next week.
Oh, well, you've got it covered. Thank you. I'm going to be working with Martin Hand Trio, guitarist, bass player, and drummer, and myself. We'll be probably doing music that I haven't recorded, maybe some standards, maybe some straight ahead, I don't know, they call them jazz songs, music from Miles Davis, George Gershwin, Cole Porter, Thelonious Monk, and Lee Morgan. I don't know. I mean, I kind of save it all for when I get there. I've spoken with the rhythm section, and we expect to do what's appropriate in the moment.
You've agreed to swing, I imagine.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. So with that in mind, if you would be so kind, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to be the person who's going to come to swing next Wednesday. I understand you have quite a varied background.
That's true, I guess. You know, to go way, to back up, I mean, I was involved in, with music as a kid. I took guitar lessons. I took tap dance. I was forced to take tap dancing lessons. And what I mean by forced, I didn't know any better. I didn't want to, you know. But
you had parents.
I was a little boy. Pardon me?
But you had parents.
Yes, they said you're going to take tap dance lessons. Really? Okay. I was a fan of the music. I played guitar for 6 or 7 years. I started when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I played okay, but fortunately, when I got into my teens, I started to work with some guys that were in their middle 20s, and we were playing for weddings. And when I was a teenager and you played for weddings, you played the Great American Songbook.
Mm-hmm.
So I got exposed to that as someone who doesn't come from that generation. And my father listened to big band music and classical music when I was a young kid. But I was a fan of the music. I still am a fan of the music. I did it because I liked it. It was fun. But I didn't try to make a living at it. And I grew up in Connecticut. I went to school for a minute for something that I really had no business going for, although my interest was engineering. I might have not had the same math background. So I ended up doing it physically. I was working as a laborer, was working as a driver, working mostly on dirt work, mm-hmm. road jobs, landing strips. I heard about the Alaska Pipeline, and I went up there for a year and stayed about 12. And in between worked construction in Washington State and Arizona, and a little bit off Lake Charles, Louisiana, and road jobs, dam jobs, landing strips. I caught the tail end of the pipeline. But while I was doing that, I was a fan of the music. I'd maybe sit in somewhere, sing a little bit. I got involved in a festival in Fairbanks, Alaska. And after moving back up there, and I got involved in a festival as a participant, and it reignited my interest to sing. With a live band in front of, you know, in front of an audience. And I got some encouragement, and I, you know, like I said, I went up there for a year. This is about 12 or 14 years later. I thought, well, maybe it's time to do something else. And, you know, when I originally went up there, I decided it was time to do something else then, but I was in my early 20s. So mm-hmm. even then people said, you can't just pick up and go. Well, why not? And after doing it for maybe until you're in your middle 30s, you don't just pick up and go. Well, why not? So I came back to the East Coast and tried to make a little noise, singing the repertoire that I dug, you know, people that I had been listening to. Like, do you want to talk about those people for a minute?
If you wish, absolutely.
Once you get me going, you know, if you want to put the brakes on, let me know.
I promise. Go ahead.
But, you know, I listened to... Between listening to, actively listening to, and growing up around television in the 50s, I mean, I dug from Perry Como and Sammy Davis and Dean Martin and Bing Crosby to Jackie Paris and Chet Baker and Mark Murphy and Lambert Hendrickson Ross and all the girls, Carmen and Sarah and Anita O'Day and on and on and on, the people's names that a lot of people know about. And I guess being a fan of the music, one thing leads you to another, and now that the computers, everybody's got one, well, all you have to do is look up one person on YouTube, and that takes you to someone else and to someone else. And I always end up trying to go, you know, backwards years-wise and find out who laid it down first so maybe I could pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I got involved in singing, and I got you know, trying to play locally, then regionally, then trying to spread out. And one thing leads to another, and here you and I are having a conversation because I'm happy to come to Florida.
I'm speaking with Giacomo Gates. He'll be performing at the Broward Center next Wednesday night. Showtime is 7:45, and the Broward Center is at 201 Southwest 5th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale. I am kind of curious, Mr. Gates, pardon me, Giacomo, I'm kind of curious. You mentioned the festival in Fairbanks. You decided, well, you became involved as a participant, and that's what reignited your love of performing and the music. What was it that persuaded you to get up on stage there?
Well, I took a class.
Okay.
You know, it was a 2 weeks. The festival was a 2 week thing. It's like a summer festival,
mm-hmm.
an arts festival, and they gave the opportunities to people to attend from playing an instrument, whatever kind it be, to singing, to photography, to charcoal drawing, everything, any kind of a graphic art, photography, dancing. And it was Chris Calloway, Cab's daughter, who was giving a clinic for 2 weeks, or a workshop, whatever you wanted to call it. And, I was a fan of Cab Calloway. And I said, gee, wow, his daughter's here. Imagine that. And she was giving this class. And I had been told about it by somebody, hey, there's this festival. And I had been living up there for probably 6 or 7 years and didn't even know about the festival because in the summertime I would be somewhere remote working.
Mm-hmm.
So I just happened to be in that summer, and Fairbanks is a pretty nice place to be in the summer. And I got involved in the festival, and there are people that sing with rhythm, with a couple of instrumentations, and you kind of try to put your thing together. But fortunately, I had a jump on it because I could play music, I could read music, and And I met a great guy up there, but this is probably what you had maybe said you did a little bit of a little peeking. And I met a guy by the name of Grover Sales, who some folks might know his name. He was a West Coast guy who was involved in the very beginning of the Monterey Jazz Festival. He was Dizzy Gillespie's promotional manager in the early 1950s.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, he knew guys like Lenny Bruce and Jonathan Winters, and I happened to meet him sitting in the back of the clinic. And we're talking, and I don't know who he was. I just knew he was a guy who was sitting back there with a pad writing. And what he was really doing was writing about the festival, and he happened to be sitting in on his class.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I struck up a conversation. And then I found out who he was, who he is. And I just found him, interesting, and a guy from that era that I was interested in, a hip guy who had a lot of great stories. And he was very encouraging and fun to be around, and he mentioned people's names that, I used to read about, that I've had their LPs. And like I said, I knew that there was some kind of change coming. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I certainly, I bumped into someone who was a catalyst, I guess. And, it felt good to learn a little bit what I was learning up there, what I was singing at a couple of these little functions that they had. And I was getting ready to depart. I didn't know where I was going. But I thought, maybe I'll just go back to NYC. And there was still a scene in New York City in the mid to late 1980s, which I was happy to be able to catch on to some people that...
I was going to say, that must have been an adventure. Please tell us about that.
And they were still on the planet. And so not only did I get to meet them, I was knocked out that I was able to, either maybe perform with them, sit in with them. Yeah, some guys I ended up working with, hanging with. So... it kind of knocked me out that I was able to get into... I never looked at it that way. I never thought that I was going to be sitting down talking to Max Roach, or we're doing a gig with Walter Bishop Jr., or sitting backstage with Lou Donaldson. It knocked me out.
I'm speaking with Giacomo Gates, who will be in Fort Lauderdale a week from tonight performing for the Gold Coast Jazz Society. So you just went back to New York and just appeared on the scene?
Well, you sit in,
Okay.
go to places and find open sessions. There were a lot of open sessions. But most of the sessions were, you know, late night sessions for instrumentalists. And fortunately for me, I was singing the music that they were playing, not, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with nice old chestnuts, but if you're in a certain, if you're in a session in a certain situation, you don't change the situation, you join the situation.
Right.
So as a singer, I kind of got a reputation first for being a bebop singer because they were playing bebop, especially a lot of the younger guys were still trying to play bebop. I mean, here it was 1989, and bebop came out in the early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
People are still trying to play it. It's not easy.
No.
But, you know, I mean, you know, I get to teach. I teach at Wesleyan University, and they have to call the course something. They call it jazz vocals. But I don't know what I would really call it. Conversational voice, how to breathe, how to tell the truth. You know, because it's not do-re-mi for me. I mean, certainly you need to know musically what you're doing, but as a singer, I mean, I like to sing a story. That's it for me. If I find, I mean, there's certainly great stories were put to some great jazz tunes, and some great stories put to some great, you know, American standards. Well, I think the thing for me is to, you know, find a way to interpret it so people have either fun, can relate to it in some kind of way, whether it's happy or sad, and sad is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, they say nothing makes you feel better than a sad song. That's why those cats used to sing the blues, not to keep them, but to get rid of them.
And that's the true truth. Tell me this. Do you think that you're not having devoted your entire life to pursuing a career as an artist has made you a better artist?
I don't know. I wouldn't know. Because I didn't do it the other way first.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that would have been nice. Then I could have backed up all over again and made a choice. But
I guess the question is, how much do you rely on your previous life for
today?
Yeah,
no, I dig. You're completely right. I think that having had, I mean, I lived in situations that I never thought I'd be living in. And I don't mean just construction-wise. I mean, I lived in places where, you know, when you walked outside, you didn't have to worry about getting hit by a car, but you might have to get worried about getting eaten by a bear.
Mm.
Or just, you know, enough to have situations where being broke, busted, and disgusted is not that bad of a thing when you can look back on it and say, well, I went through it.
Yeah, looking back on it is key.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of famous writers, I wish I could bring their names to mind, but they said, you know, when you look back, the tough times when you look back, are some of the best ones. Or I think Mark Twain said, adventure tells much better than it lives. But if you can relate to, you know, whether it be hard times, good times, a love affair that went great, a love affair that went sour, you know, all the ups and downs and roller coaster rides that one goes on, if you put yourself out there, and, you know, you might as well, because you don't know how long the lights are on anyway. I don't want to get philosophical or corny, but if you're introspective enough, sometimes you reflect on those things, and if you can relate to them and you can expose yourself emotionally, you sing them in words attached to a nice melody.
And that's what's going to happen next Wednesday at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. My guest is Giacomo Gates. He'll be performing there with the Martin Hand Trio. Showtime next Wednesday is 7:45 p.m. And I want to talk a little bit now about your recording career, Mr. Gates. Let's see, you've got, what, 6 albums as a leader?
I think it's 6, yep, 6 or you have 7.
Okay, excellent.
7, maybe, and it guested on a few, I'm happy to tell you.
Okay, that means you owe me some discs. Please send them
all right, that's a deal.
Please tell us about getting into recording.
Well, right now I'm with High Note Records, and I'm happy to be with them. This will be the opening cut that you played, Everything is Cool, Thank You for Playing, the opening track of the latest release on High Note Records. That one was in particular by Babs Gonzalez. I look for music that I like, that the musicians like to play, and that the audience certainly likes to listen to, and the only way the audience gets to listen to it is through you folks at radio. So I'm happy, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Radio has been very kind to me in playing my releases, and so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for making something worth spinning. That's kind of important, you know.
Well, thanks.
Let's talk about The Revolution Will Be Jazz. That is the album of yours that really kind of put you on my radar. I think my predecessor here as host of Evening Jazz, Len Pace, had played some of your earlier work. I seem to remember him liking some of the stuff from Centerpiece.
Okay.
But it was The Revolution Will Be Jazz that really got my attention. I remember when the radio promoter, Mike Herzon, was telling me that you had done this album. I'd heard of you, of course, and I've got Gil Scott-Heron in my blood. And it's like, he what?
Yeah.
And then I began to get really curious, like, who is this cat and why is he? So I looked into it a little bit, but I'd appreciate it if you could tell us about you and The Revolution Will Be Jazz, your look at the work of Gil Scott-Heron.
Well, once again, I go back way before I got into this business, is that I remember when Gil came out. In fact, let me back up one more time. I remember The Last Poets.
Okay.
So, and I was a fan of The Last Poets, although most folks might not even know who they are. But
no, my listeners are very hip. They know The Last Poets.
Yeah, well, no, when I say most folks, I don't mean your listeners. I mean most folks.
Oh, them other folks.
Well, you know, the large population, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, they were pretty urban. They were pretty New York centric, or maybe Chicago and Detroit, PA, you know, Philly,
mm-hmm.
but how shall I say? Well, I was already aware of Gil. I liked Gil. I was a fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 or 4 years before that album came out, the guy who produced the Gil Scott-Heron album, he ended up producing it, but he came up and he was a friend of mine, Mark Ruffin, and we saw each other at some kind of a jazz convention in Toronto or maybe even Chicago, and he said to me, I would like to do a Gil Scott-Heron album. I'm a big fan of his. Would you be interested? I said, yeah, sure. And I think 3 years went by, and we had seen each other in between, but nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, hey, man, I'm ready to do this if you are. I'm going to send you some music. And he sent me maybe 50 tunes. Although some stuff I wasn't aware of, some stuff I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the music, and the more I listened, I tried to choose things that, I mean, there's certainly some things I liked, but that I couldn't sing. I had no business singing it, or it wasn't for me to sing.
Gotcha.
And I picked some of the songs that I thought Gil was like a prophet. I'm not telling you anything you don't know again. But some of the things that he did were really funny, some were tongue-in-cheek, some were stone-cold serious. I did the ones that I liked, that I would have fun doing. I didn't consciously try to change them into anything else but my interpretation. I'm certainly not going to try to copy Gil Scott-Heron.
No.
And I'm not even going to try to copy that rhythm, because that rhythm was specific to Gil at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I put it like, I didn't do really anything to it. I let something happen to it.
I have the album in the player here, and
okay.
I'd like to ask you to pick a track so we can share it with my friends, our friends, so they can get an idea of what you're talking about.
You know, I don't have it in front of me, but I'll say, I don't know, you pick it. You've got them all in front of you. I have favorites for different reasons.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'm looking at Show Business, which is track
sure,
number...
I was thinking about that. It's fun.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to slide across here and cue it up. Would you talk a minute while I do that?
Sure.
Introduce it for us?
Sure. When we did this record, I don't recall the year right now, but I think it was in November of 2012. I got together with John DeMartino, the pianist, and we did the arrangements. And we did a rehearsal. We did one rehearsal with a band. We went into the studio. We recorded the recording in, I believe it was in November.
2010, according to the label.
Yes, 2010. And the record was going to, you know, the record's got to get recorded. It gets in line with whoever else is in line. and it gets manufactured, and the graphics are done, and all this takes time. And the record was planned to come out, I believe, in May. April or May, something like that. Well, maybe it came out in June, but anyway, 3 weeks before or 4 weeks before the record comes out, Gil Scott-Heron passes away. Liner notes were written, everything. This was going to be a gift. I mean, Rufford couldn't wait for this record to come out. We were going to go and find Gil's apartment or catch him at, you know, that club that he used to play at in New York, SOBs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he wasn't that easy to get next to, but we would have gotten next to him in one way or another and said, listen, you know, this is going to be coming out in 3 or 4 weeks, but this is for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nod to Gil Scott-Heron.
Yeah.
And he left a month before it happened. So it, the record was not a, you know, a tribute record to Gil Scott-Heron. This was Gil's music when he was still alive.
Right.
And then Gil split. So if you have the record, you'll see that record. The liner notes were written like 6 months before Gil died. You can tell that by reading the record. Anyway, show business.
Here it is.
Still got your career for only 95%. Now that leaves enough for fronts like three-piece suits and pay the rent. Sing the blues and pay your dues and not know who you are. Makes you wonder why so many people want to be a star. Well, do you really want to be in show business? The instant high and constant come and go business got you hanging out in places you got no business. And people sell their soul, wanna be in show business. I wanna be in show business. It's alright with me. Yeah, yeah. It's alright with me. Just as long as you know you're only as important to them as your latest hit. That's a precarious position for a plastic king to sit. Lawyer's gain is double same. Your fate is in their hands. You're a millionaire without a dime. You just don't understand. Well, do you really want to be in show business? The instant high and constant come and go business got you hanging out in places you got no business. And people who sell their soul wanna be in show business. I wanna be in show business. It's alright with me. Yeah, yeah. It's alright with me. Just as long as you know. Split lead 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 out. Suit and boop boop we don't do but need 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 me now. Success that runs both ways, and you've seen all the worst and best. Damn near every day, fans demand and one-night stands will fill your mind with doubt. And on closing day, you're lucky to say you're down but still not out. Oh, do you really want to be in show business? Instant high and constant come and go business got you proving exactly how much you don't know business. And people sell their soul, wanna be in show business. I 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 wanna be in show business. It's all right with me.
in show business? That's all right with me. Everybody's got to be somewhere. Giacomo Gates. Giacomo Gates, we just heard there from The Revolution Will Be Jazz, and Giacomo Gates is on the phone with us tonight from Connecticut. He will be performing.
Tell me, Chrissy, how warm is it down there? What do I got to look forward to?
It's warm down here. It's quite warm down here.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's, you know, it gets to be summer in a hurry down here. The temperature right now is probably in the high 70s, and today was sort of a cool day because we had, the low 70s, actually. It was sort of cool today because we had some rain, but it's definitely warm.
All right. Well, you know, us northerners, we look forward to that thawing out early.
We got it for you. We look forward to having you down here for your performance next Wednesday. One thing that I often say when I play the tracks from The Revolution Will Be Jazz, I talk about how that album, for me, was a lesson on the evils of prejudice. You know, I talked about my conversation with Mike Herzog when he told me that it was coming, and my initial response to it was that, you know, you had a heck of a lot of nerve doing a Gil Scott-Heron tune, and you know, I was wrong. And like I said, that's an object lesson in the evil of prejudice. So thank you for teaching me that.
When before the record even came out, Mark Ruffin said to me, "Listen, man, you know," I said to him, "How come you picked me to do this record?" He said, "Well, you know, you have enough attitude and enough edge to sing this music, and you kind of have, I have a funny, hopefully, I have a sense of humor, and, you know, Gil's music for me was a lot of things, but part of it is Gil's great sense of humor."
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, too, I said, you know, he said, "Man, listen, be ready for a lot of people not digging it," he said, "because a lot of people are going to say, what's this cat doing? He's taking a chance." Well, you know, I didn't even think of it that way because, I mean, I was certainly aware of it, but I thought, well, you know, I'm just trying to do something, and my intention is the best and honest. So those who can dig it, hope they do, you know. And I also thought that there might have been a chance that some people who were certainly, there's certainly some people who are aware of Gil Scott-Heron might get to be aware of me, and maybe a few the other way around, because, you know, this whole deal, again, I mean, to you and I and Gil Scott-Heron, I mean, I said to people, "Hey, man, I'm coming out with a Gil Scott-Heron record." They said, "Who?
How do you not know
who Gil Scott-Heron is?"
Yeah.
Well, but there's a lot of that. I mean, you know, I'm knocked out that I get to do some gigs a couple of times with John Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
And Lambert Hendricks and Ross, I mean, that's almost a commercial name in our world. But a lot of people don't know who that is. You know, it's more of an inside music than I wish it was.
Yeah.
But also, that's the other nice thing about it. It's kind of nice and inside. And when people discover this music, it's very difficult not to like. I mean, like I said, I teach college kids.
Mm-hmm.
I play them Count Basie. They go, "Wow, what's that?"
Yeah.
Count Basie. And who's that singing with them? And they know Sinatra. But when they hear Sinatra in 1960 with Count Basie, they go, "Wow." So it's hard not to like this music once you expose yourself to it.
Basie, one of the great gateway drugs of our music.
So, yeah, I mean, and maybe because I was thinking of, like, well, if I like Count Basie, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that, I like Mick Jagger, too, but you know, I was still listening to Dexter Gordon.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, okay, I'm talking with Giacomo Gates, who's going to be singing next Wednesday night, the 11th of May, presented by the Gold Coast Jazz Society, rounding out their season at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. That's it.
That's going to be a lot of fun, by the way, because Martin gave me a call and we talked a little bit, and, you know, he asked me about what we'd like to do and what we'd like to present. And because I have worked for the Gold Coast Jazz Society a couple times several years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was a really great crowd. But like I said, you know, I never know who's going to show up, so. And I always say, ladies and gentlemen, please give these musicians a round of applause, because they have the same idea what's going to happen next as you do. And that's the truth. But it sounds like, you know, we've been doing it. People said, "Gee, wow, I thought you were visiting down here. How long have you guys been playing together?" "It's about 6:30, baby."
And as I always tell my friends, if you don't know, or rather, if you don't go, you won't know. That's why it's so important to get out and catch live music.
Yeah, it is. There is something different about live music. It's really live.
sort of like live radio is really live.
Yeah, right. Well, who was that one that said if you listen long enough, you start to see pictures?
That's definitely true. That reminds me, backing up a little bit, though, we didn't actually talk about, I was so caught up in the whole Gil Scott-Heron thing that I forgot to ask you about your work in Vocalese, which is something that you were widely known for before we even got to The Revolution Will Be Jazz. How did you get into that?
Well, again, here's Lambert Hendrickson Ross. I was a fan. I remember buying the LP. Like I said, you know, I liked Count Basie, so all of a sudden I see this thing, Lambert Hendrickson Ross sing Count Basie. What's that all about? And I was aware of, I guess the first time I heard Eddie was when I heard radio when I was living in Connecticut, because then I was fortunate enough to be able to pick up New York radio. And, gee, I probably heard Frankie Crocker playing Eddie Jefferson and King Pleasure.
Wow.
So, yeah, Eddie Jefferson, the father of Vocalese, and then Lambert Hendrickson Ross did it and put it in harmony. And both of them were philosophers and great lyricists. And so to me, that sounded like, when I heard those records, I thought, wow, they're having so much fun. And they're singing the music that attracted me was, you know, modern jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And they were singing modern jazz, and well, not modern jazz, modern from 1950s, you know?
Yeah.
Even though I, you know, I wasn't listening to that in 1950. I wasn't, what was I, three, you know? But I happened to get lucky and listen, catch this music, even though it's not of my generation. And I don't know, I guess it just interested me. Hearing a Charlie Parker solo and finding out that there's words to it, and then looking up and getting that recording, and on and on and on, one thing leads you to another. And then I ended up meeting John. Listening, you know, I was a fan of John's. I caught a lot of people live. I was fortunate. I went to see Lambert's. It was called John Hendrickson Company, which was his daughter Aria,
mm-hmm.
His wife, and I can't think of his name, and I know him. Well, I will. But there were four of them, and I met them and just approached them and talked to them and said, my name is, and, you know, I'm aware of your music, and I'm trying to sing some of it. And he was very open and very friendly, and he said, yeah, man, I've heard your name around, and why don't you come back? You coming by tomorrow night? I said, no, I'm working. I'll come. We're here till Sunday. You want to come back? You could sit in. I said, sit in? With John Hendricks? And I did come back on Sunday night, and he sang, and he called me up on the bandstand, and he said, what do you want to do? And, like, you know, I pay those cats their due. I said to him, I don't need to do nothing. Standing here is good enough for me. He laughed, and we sang Straight No Chaser.
That works.
Yeah, so, you know, all of those people that did all that, and, the, you know, the wordsmiths and the people that wrote stuff to solos, it just interested me, I guess, and I was trying to do it myself and try to do some things in that vein. I've written some lyrics to some solos that fortunately got to be able to be recorded, and try to sing some of these guys' material and material like it. So, yeah, to me, it's very musical. It's fun. It's fun for an audience. I mean, you know, I'm trying to have a good time on the bandstand, but when I look out, if they're having a good time, then we're having a good time. It's a real transfer. I'm not mailing anything in.
And your chance to check it out, my friends, in Radio Land is next Wednesday night at the Broward Center, showtime 7:45, for a performance by Giacomo Gates with the Martin Hand Trio. Got anything coming up you want to tell us about?
Well, I was just on the phone today, and we are looking to do something again. I don't know what it will be. There are some things in mind. Again, I like to stretch a little bit. I mean, mm-hmm. I still want to sing this music, whatever that means. This music. But I want to do, like, if I like Al Jarreau so much, we talked about Al Jarreau for a minute, and I do like Al Jarreau. I would love to think about doing something from one of Al's books. And I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't do a whole album. Mm-hmm. I would love to do a song of his.
Yeah.
I might like to do something that, you know, maybe an original lyric to an established, you know, a good established instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get the permission, because you don't just do that stuff. You have to get the okay.
Right.
And, you know, I like, I don't know. There's so much material to draw from that it boggles me. There's only so much recording time. I don't know. I probably won't be doing anything by Led Zeppelin, but, you know, I'm not really sure.
So, well, you ain't dead yet either.
I don't know. But, you know, we're just kicking around like some of the songs that are on Everything Is Cool. They've been around for a long time, but maybe not necessarily recorded very much.
Yeah.
So I like to look for stuff like that. And but Hinode and I still love each other, and something's going to happen again.
All right. Well, is it fair to say that you'll be surprised? We definitely will be. So.
Yeah. You'll be surprised. And it changes every day. I don't know how to tell it to you. I mean, I come up with this would be a great tune. I mean, I would like to do some. Maybe I'll put it'd be nice to put another John Hendricks tune on there. I got to work with Aria Hendricks a couple of years ago at the there was a festival in Miami.
Yeah.
And got to work with Aria, and I met Aria through her daddy. And I mean, that's a ball for me, you know. How'd you meet Aria Hendricks? Oh, through her father. Really? You know? So, it just kind of keeps going and going. It's growing nicely.
We'll watch and see what happens. I'm talking with Giacomo Gates, who's performing in Fort Lauderdale next Wednesday night for the Gold Coast Jazz Society at the Broward Center. Showtime 7:45, and the address is 201 Southwest. That quickly. It's 201 Southwest 5th. Is it Street or Avenue? 201 Southwest 5th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale. Mr. Gates, is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have, or anything you just want to tell my friends?
No,
anything
you want them to know? You don't want to talk about space travel or anything like that, do you? Because I'm not up on that one at all.
Yeah, when you come to the igloo, we're going to talk about space travel. On the phone? Yeah. Nah, not tonight.
Maybe Maseratis or Ferraris we could discuss a little bit. I don't know, you know.
No, I'm going to stop right there.
Thank you. Thanks for the spins, and thank you for the conversation, and I look forward to seeing you Wednesday.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, and thank you for making something worth spinning. Speaking of which, would you be so kind as to introduce this selection for us? Which one is it?
Did you say Social Call?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much. Would you introduce that for us?
Here you go. Written by alto saxophonist Gigi Grice.
George General Grice.
And lyrics by John Hendricks. Social Call. I like to say that this is a song that was written when people used to just make spontaneous social calls.
What a concept. Giacomo Gates, thank you so much. We'll see you next Wednesday.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tracy.
And that's how the...
Happened to pass your doorway, gave you a buzz, that's all. Lately I thought lots about you, so I thought I'd pay a social call. Do you recall the old days? We used to have a ball. Not that I'm lonesome without you, so I thought I'd pay a social call. I lie and say things are just swell, but to tell the truth, I haven't been too well. So if I should try to kiss you, promise that you won't stall. Maybe we'll get back together, starting with this incidental, elemental, simple social call. Thank you. happened to pass your doorway, gave you a buzz, that's all. Lately I thought lots about you, so I thought I'd pay a social call. Do you recall the old days? We used to have a ball. Not that I'm lonesome without you, so I thought I'd pay a social call. I lie and say things are just swell, but to tell the truth, I haven't been too well. So if I should try to kiss you, promise that you won't stall. Maybe we'll get back together, starting with this incidental, simple social call.
My guest this evening, that was Giacomo Gates. We had a phone conversation just a little while ago. Social Call from his most recent release. The album's called Everything is Cool. Absolutely it is. Giacomo Gates performing at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts on Wednesday, May the 11th. Showtime there is 7:45.